It is always called stating the disease before we find the cure. But it is the whole definition and dignity of man that in social matters we must actually find the cure before we find the disease. The fallacy is one of the 50 fallacies that come from the modern madness for biological or bodily metaphors. It is convenient to speak of the social organism, just as it is convenient to speak of the British lion. But Britain is no more an organism than Britain is a lion. The moment we begin to give a nation the unity and simplicity of an animal, we begin to think wildly. Because every man is a biped, 50 men are not a centipede. This has produced, for instance, the gaping absurdity of perpetually talking about young nations and dying nations, as if a nation had a fixed and physical span of life. Thus, people will say that Spain has entered a final senility. They might as well say that Spain is losing all her teeth. Or people will say that Canada should soon produce a literature, which is like saying that Canada must soon grow a new moustache. Nations consist of people. The first generation may be decrepit, or the 10,000th may be vigorous. Similar applications of the fallacy are made by those who see in the increasing size of national possessions a simple increase in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man. These people, indeed, even fall short in subtlety of the parallel of a human body. They do not even ask whether an empire is growing taller in its youth, or only growing fatter in its old age. But of all the instances of error arising from this physical fancy, the worst is that we have before us, the habit of exhaustively describing a social sickness, and then propounding a social drug. Now, we do talk first about the disease in cases of bodily breakdown, and that for an excellent reason. Because, though there may be doubt about the way in which the body broke down, there is no doubt at all about the shape in which it should be built up again. No doctor proposes to produce a new kind of man, with a new arrangement of eyes or limbs. The hospital, by necessity, may send a man home with one leg less, but it will not, in a creative rapture, send him home with one leg extra. Medical science is content with the normal human body, and only seeks to restore it. But social science is by no means always content with the normal human soul. It has all sorts of fancy souls for sale. Man, as a social idealist, will say, "I am tired of being a Puritan. I want to be a pagan." Or, "Beyond this dark probation of individualism, I see the shining paradise of collectivism." Now, in bodily ills, there is none of this difference about the ultimate ideal. The patient may or may not want quinine, but he certainly wants health. No one says, "I am tired of this headache. I want some toothache." Or, "The only thing for this Russian influenza is a few German measles." Or, "Through this dark probation of Qatar, I see the shining paradise of rheumatism." But exactly the whole difficulty in our public problems is that some men are aiming at cures which other men would regard as worse maladies, are offering ultimate conditions as states of health which others would uncompromisingly call states of disease. Mr. Belloc once said that he would no more part with the idea of property than with his teeth. Yet, to Mr. Bernard Shaw, property is not a tooth, but a toothache. Lord Milner has sincerely attempted to introduce German efficiency, and many of us would as soon welcome German measles. Dr. Saleby would honestly like to have eugenics, but I would rather have rheumatics. This is the arresting and dominant fact about modern social discussion, that the quarrel is not merely about the difficulties, but about the aim. We agree about the evil. It is about the good that we should tear each other's eyes out. We all admit that a lazy aristocracy is a bad thing,